Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Bop Show. So I'm your host, Psychic Box, and I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you tonight. I'm using some headphones tonight, however, I might just go ahead and take them off. I'll see how it goes. Anyway, so we're going to be talking tonight about the psychic poet Ted Hughes, who was known as one of the 20th century's greatest poets and a very powerful man. He had a very interesting life, so we'll be talking a lot about him. I'll be reading some of his poetry. And if people have questions later on in the show, especially about anything regarding the written word, poetry, anything of that nature, it'll be great to hear from you guys and see what happens. So that's what's going to happen tonight. We'll also be speaking with my good friend Larry Pine. So tonight we'll talk about astrology, numerology, the tarot, the Kabbalah, and all of the symbolism in the tarot, and how it might have influenced the great poet Ted Hughes. So just for those of you who might not really have an understanding of who he is and what he actually did in this life, just give you a little bit of background. So Ted was born Edward Hughes, and he was born in this amazing town called Misselmroyd, and it was in England, born on August 17th, 1930, and he was born at 11:55 p.m., which gave him 17 degrees Gemini rising, 0 degrees Moon in Gemini, had the Sun at 24 Leo, and the midheaven was at 8 degrees Aquarius, making him really powerful visual person who actually described things in a great deal of detail. He was also known as one of the world's great nature poets. His Chinese astrology is Metal Horse, if you guys understand what that's all about. If not, you should check it out at vox@vox.org, and sometime we'll do a Chinese horoscope session over here on Blog Talk Radio. Ted Hughes' numerology put him as a birth path number 11, and 11 is a very powerful magical number, which is a master number and is very often associated with poets and people of that nature. So, and just to let you know a little bit of a bio of Ted, a little small one, is again born Edward James Hughes, born August 17th, 1930, and unfortunately he passed away on 20th of October, 1998. He was an English poet and children's writer, commonly known as Ted Hughes. And according to certain sources, critics routinely rank him as one of the best poets of his generation, and I have to agree with that. Later on in his life, he was chosen by Queen Elizabeth II, the current Queen of England, as the British Poet Laureate, and he served as the Poet of Britain from 1984 until his death in 1998. One of the most amazing things that he's known for, even though I don't think it's really that amazing, something that really made him very well known was the fact of his marriage to famous American poetess Sylvia Plath, whom I think a lot of people might know about that. And he was married to her from 1956 to 1963, and she unfortunately committed suicide in 1963 at the age of 30 with two small children that she had with Ted. She saved her children and she killed herself by inhaling gas from the stove. It was a very tragic situation that happened to him. And his part in that relationship became controversial because a lot of feminists pretty much accused Ted Hughes of being the instigating element to her suicide. And, you know, what can you say about that? She was mentally ill for many, many years even before she met him. So I think it was really not his fault, but I think whatever did happen ultimately pushed her over the edge. And unfortunately, he was judged very harshly throughout his life. Yet he overcame it. He married again to a wonderful woman named Carol, who is still alive, and it's his widow who lives in Devon in England. Anyway, a lot of his U.S. admirers, actually the people who loved Sylvia Plath, again, accused him of you know, pushing her over the edge, and that may or may not have been true. But anyway, he never really quite got over it, despite his greatness and all the other work that he did in his life. And I would imagine that it's actually made him an even greater poet. I mean, the stuff he had to go through was just unbelievable. To top it off, the woman, I mean, he did cheat on her. Okay, he's a Leo. What are you going to do? You cannot tie these Leos down. I keep warning you guys. So basically, he cheated on her with this woman who was also a poet, who was married to a very well-known poet. And he cheated on Sylvia Plath with the other poet, and she was very jealous of Sylvia, who was pretty darn great. Anyway, long story short, Sylvia killed herself, and the woman whose name was Asaya Weevil, strange name, it's actually a Kabbalistic name, believe it or not, she had a baby girl with Ted, so that's one of the reasons Ted didn't get back with her. And about 2 years after Sylvia killed herself, or no, I think it was like 5 years later, she killed herself the same damn way. So, poor Ted. I mean, some people might not think poor Ted, but this copycat wife, number two, killed herself just like Sylvia killed herself, except it gets worse. She killed their baby as well. She held the baby in her arms while she gassed herself to death in the kitchen. And at least, you got to say for Sylvia, she saved her children's lives. Her children were Frida Hughes, who's also a really great poet and an artist, who's still around, and Nicholas Hughes, who unfortunately is no longer still amongst us. But the most important thing is to recognize, here's this guy, he's got these women falling in love with him. He was so unbelievably handsome. Oh, my God, just gorgeous. Tall, strong, huntsman, typical English type, just beautiful. Anyway, so he's got all these women throwing themselves at his feet, and he wasn't faithful to anybody. I mean, come on, a Leo with Gemini rising, seriously? And even as a psychic that he was, he had to have known that he shouldn't have gotten married to anybody. However, long story short, he had to bear the grief of losing two wives to suicide, who blamed it all on him and made it look as if it was all his fault. So that's very sad. But so that's the basic gist of it. And feel free to chat with us over here on the little chat room. I will get to a few calls as we go. And I will hope that if you are trying to be a writer or a poet, you might utilize this show today to gain some level of inspiration. And the fact that you guys are calling into a psychic show tells me that you are into being more conscious in your life, that you want to see what's going on, that you're looking for answers. And very much that's what poetry can help us do. The poet, in his greatest form, asks the immortal questions and the important questions of existence. And using rhyme, reason, or however, whatever the technique is, shares some inner part of his soul or her soul, and we read those words, and sometimes that's exactly what we need to read or hear. And if this is something that interests you and you're trying to write or trying to be a poet or you have something to share, I will take some phone calls as we go. So just hold on, don't hang up, and everybody feel free to call in. Also, I have created a Ted Hughes appreciation page on Facebook. So if you go to facebook.com/ and type in Vox1, V-O-X-X-1, all together, it'll take you to my page. And on the left side of the page, you'll see the different pages I've created, and one is for Ted Hughes. So go on there and sign up and get all kinds of cool stuff, like even little prizes or opportunities to chat with me. So check that out and let me know how your thoughts are about that. Anyway, getting back to Ted Hughes for a second. Interestingly enough, about 6 months before he died, 1998, he finally published a book called Birthday Letters. It was his last book of poetry. And here he was in his 80s, still writing, doing a lot of amazing work there. And apparently it was all poems written to Sylvia or about Sylvia and his marriage to her and their family. and his poetic process through the years. So it took him from 1963 all the way through till 1998 to compile all of his poems that he had been holding on inside so he could share maybe his half. And you got to give the guy credit. He could have come out and said, yeah, these ladies were crazy, whatever. But he didn't ever do that. He basically was very much an English gentleman, as you would expect him to be. He never said anything about any of it. And he just let his writings talk for him. What a class act all the way to the end. Now, why am I talking about poetry? What's the connection, you might wonder? Well, let's check this out. This is a true Vox story. And you know how crazy those can be. I'm going to tell you, I met Ted Hughes. I met Ted Hughes 2 days after he died. In typical Vox fashion, I remind you. I was at a friend's house, and we were celebrating Halloween. So technically, I guess it was, that was two to three days. It was the third night after his death. And I'm not famous for using Ouija boards in public, although I've been using them since I was about 5 years old with my sister. And before we even knew how to spell, we were using the Ouija board and spelling words and freaking people out. So my friend happened to have a Ouija board, and we just decided, hey, let's check it out, let's use it. And, of course, I did all the typical blessings and all of that stuff to protect the circle, which you should just not break up the Ouija board. Okay, contact me and I'll let you know how to do it. I might even teach a class on it in one of these shows. Long story short, I contacted a spirit, and I asked the spirit what his name was or her name or whomever I was reaching. And it was October 31st, 1998, and the spirit said, my name is, Ted. I said, who is this? And he spells out T-E-D. Now, this was before Seth MacFarlane. This was before the movie Ted. This was before the Ted lectures. Just Ted. I'm like, all right, so interesting. So how are you doing? He's like, fine. Yeah, and then who are you? And he said, I'm a writer, I'm a poet. And I thought, and he didn't even say anything too much more after that, but he did appear through the Ouija board. He did contact me in front of a group of 3 to 4 people. Had never heard of him before, and which is kind of surprising, I imagine, because I am a poet and a published poet. But at that time, it wasn't like I was seeking out people to, read about. I had my old-time favorites from the 17th and 1800s, and I wasn't really looking to check anybody else's work out. So I had no idea who he was. And because my own spirit guides had reached me when I was about 15, my spirit guide actually told me very specifically, do not read The Bell Jar, which is the famous book that Sylvia Plath wrote. We were supposed to read it in, I think it was ninth grade. And so my spirit guide said, do not read this book. It's very negative. And all right, okay, fine, spirit guide. My spirit guides talk to me your mom talks to you in a regular conversation. So I refused to read the book. And my entire life, I stayed away from it, and I never really bothered to read anything about Sylvia Plath because of my spirit guide telling me to stay away from her. So long story short, I had no idea that Sylvia Plath was married to Ted Hughes. I had no idea whatsoever. So later on, of course, after the seance and all this stuff with the Ouija board, I looked him up, and lo and behold, I found that he was a real person, and he had just died 3 days earlier. And to top it off, I got into his poetry without knowing anything about him. Remember, around 1998, the internet was not then as it is now. It's not like you could just look people up on Wikipedia. There's just not that much information. So, but the information that I did get led me to all of the links of the story, and I became very fascinated with Ted, and I read everything I could about him. And again, that's how I found he was married to Sylvia Plath. And I wound up reading all about her life so I could learn more about Ted. And then I, of course, the logical links, I went to read everything about Anne Sexton, who was Sylvia Plath's, literary enemy. It's like Lady Gaga versus Katy Perry in 1960s, But so that's some of the background of it. So I met Ted Hughes' ghost 3 days after he died. He contacted me. I was just saying, hey, who's out there? And it was Halloween. And Halloween, as a lot of people know, is the witches' is like the New Year for witches. And yes, I'm an initiated Wiccan priestess, amongst other things. So I was celebrating, and I hit the mother lode, and I bumped into Ted Hughes' spirit, and he's been with me ever since. He has actually guided me on quite a few different journeys of the psyche. Now, other interesting thing about Ted, which was not well known at that time by anybody, he was a master tarot reader. And in fact, one or two of Sylvia Plath's poems refer to reading tarot cards, which she learned how to read apparently by hanging out with Ted. And Ted was also a master astrologer. Now, there's a famous biographer, Jocelyn Godwin, I'm pretty sure that's her name, and she's written some works on him. And later on, after people started putting stuff up on the Internet, I was just absolutely wonderfully surprised to see what a great magician he really was, magician of the spirit, very much in tune with the tarot, astrology, numerology, mythology. And I felt like that was no accident that I met him in that way. And I don't even care if anybody believes it, because there were people there, and I can have, you know, witnesses to the strange situation that occurred on October 31st, 1998. But in the years since, I've studied a lot of his poetry, and he is a what we call a nature poet, looks into nature and finds the secret within God's plan. And that may sound kind of idiosyncratic, who is into nature magic, who also practices Wicca and other, you know, magical traditions. Why about God? Well, you know, there's only one creator, and I just really do happen to believe that. And that doesn't really go in the face of practicing earth magic. And even though I'm pretty sure that Ted Hughes, you know, may have practiced some kind of formal religion, although I'm not sure, I really think that he looked to nature as the reflection of God, and his works are absolutely mind-boggling, and not like the regular kind of poetry that you hear. It's not going to sit around and rhyme and try to blow your mind like some kind of rap mogul or something like that, but his poems are very linear and very deep, and one of the first poems that I read of his was called The Thought Fox, and it was written after a period of time where he just had no inspiration whatsoever. And, you know, when you're writing, a lot of times you have to either be inspired or, you know, you can meditate on something and try to get inspired. But finally, after about 2 years of not being able to write a poem, he came up with this amazing poem called Thought Fox, which I'm going to read in a little while. But hopefully you guys will stick around so you can get a couple of questions answered during the course of the show. And, again, this is the Vox the Psychic Show, and tonight I am celebrating the life and poetry and magic of Ted Hughes, the great 20th century poet. So let's check this out. I'm also going to have my friend Larry Pines is going to be on as well. We're going to go through Ted's chart. Because something that I think would be interesting for all of us to find out about is the fact, like, where does poetry come from? What makes somebody want to be a poet? I mean, for God's sakes, it's not like you're going to make, you know, an income at it per se. And most poets today, they actually have to pay, you know, different publishers to have their stuff printed, you know, in these vanity presses. Very likely, I've been able to be published in some really interesting occult collections, which I did not pay to get published. And I've had poems up to 2 pages printed in hardcover. So I'm very pleased with that, and I will have to say that, again, Ted Hughes is one of my great all-time favorites. And, in fact, he's probably one of the only modern poets that has blown my mind. And another one is Stephen Merrill, and we'll talk about him some other time. We'll check him out later. But anyway, what else can I tell you about him? Except for he was a Cambridge man, like so was Aleister Crowley, the famous magician who happened to write a lot of poetry, which nobody ever liked. So that's kind of sad for Aleister Crowley. But Ted, he just did a lot of great work and stuff. So hopefully everybody listening tonight will join my Facebook page, for Ted Hughes and check him out, because there's quite a lot of tarot and magical symbology in his poetry without being, you know, precious about it. I really hate reading magical poems where people are just trying to, like, sound like some kind of high magus or some wizard or some ridiculous thing like that. But Ted was a natural powerhouse. So we're going to check him out a little bit more. And right now I'm probably going to see if my good friend Larry is on there. And I will. Stick around, you guys, because I'll do the lottery. And lucky people will get to get their questions answered. And, yes, I do have my trusty tarot at the ready. So that'll be great for you guys. All right, so I'm going to have a little chat right now with my good friend, Master Astrologer Larry Pine. So let me check him out, see if he's there. Hey, Larry.
Box.
How are you doing?
Yeah, oh, pretty good. I have a little, little trouble pulling up his chart. You know, I was going to, he has a similar chart to me. I thought it was like a astrological. Well, a little crazy, yeah. Astrological buddy. I said, this guy can be an astrologer, and I didn't know his background. But he has moon. His moon at zero Gemini, where I have my Saturn-Uranus conjunction. He's 12 Gemini rising, which is the north node of Uranus. So it's that. His Mars is right at my Jupiter 23 Gemini. And he has a connection with both you and I, because he has his Jupiter at 11 Cancer, where your son is.
Right.
A very psychic degree. And where I have my... What?
For our listeners, Jupiter just so happens to be at 11 degrees right this minute.
Well, the reason you're doing his stuff right now is there's a Jupiter return, and it's at a very strong degree in the zodiac, 11 degrees Cancer, the north node of Jupiter. So a lot of psychics, readers, a lot of religious people have their Jupiter at that point. So he's going back to that point. He would be very attracted to women. Women would be very attracted to him because he's an angular sun right on the nadir at the bottom of this chart in Leo.
Okay.
And his Mars in the first house, very macho type. But what I was looking at,
to
figure out why the his marriage is wound up in such strange situations. Well, we're looking at the parallels of declination, which, if you're not familiar with that, is the where the planets ride above the equator or below the equator. And if they're the same point, they tend to conjunct or be at the same, or their energies combined. And Jupiter, which rules his house of marriage, 12 Sagittarius, that planet is in his second house, or the eighth house, the house of death of his marriage partners. And Jupiter is conjunct by declination or parallel Mars, which is violence, and Pluto, which is death. So it's like looking at his chart, if you really looked at it, you'd see his wives were going to suddenly die off by suicide. I mean, and do it kind of boldly, you know. It's not a gentle type of thing. And looking at astrology, you say, oh, my God, you know, why should he get married? I would, if I were reading for him, I'd say, Ted, I think you just should go out with these women and not marry them, because something terrible might happen. But he's a very polite person. His ruling planet, actually, Mercury, is in his fifth house, which is, goes along with his Leo characteristics. His most tenanted house is the fifth house, so he's very entertaining, charming, good-looking. Is in Virgo, so he's very polite and dignified. his Neptune's there.
Well, let
so
me say something real quick here. Let me say something. Larry, this is for our listeners, Larry. You have never seen a picture of Ted Hughes. Is that correct?
Right. I've heard the name probably in the news or something, and it seemed.
No, you
but didn't. I didn't even know he was a poet.
But what I'm trying to get across to our listeners is I literally about an hour ago gave you his birth time. In fact,
that's
less
right.
than an hour ago. No, it was an hour ago. You never heard of him. You've never done his chart. You've never seen his picture. And you're completely describing Ted Hughes exactly.
Well, you can see astrologically it will tell you a lot of stories. And,
yeah,
that's,
it's unbelievable.
You know, it's like when... It's there's a saying in astrology. Astrology is the handwriting of God because you're looking at planets, and in certain positions will tell you different indications of different stories, and it's very obvious what you can see in them, and you can understand
right.
yourself and other people very, very, very accurately. He has Neptune, by the way, in the fifth house, which is his Neptune rules poetry.
Right there.
And
yeah.
it makes...
I was going to say something about this particular aspect. He's got Vertex at 0 degrees Scorpio. It's almost like his life's work was about inner transformation.
Right. A lot of transformation would be going on. His purpose would be to transform people and mainly to transform women. So women in his life were transformed very violently, but because the moon, which rules women, is zero Gemini, and
right.
his vertex, zero Scorpio, so it's an exact aspect, which is called the quincunx, which is changing or separating. So these women were definitely separated from him, at least on the physical. His Neptune also squares his moon, which is a talent indicator that's his strongest square. So it's effective emotionally using words in an artistic way, very heavily delineating. Virgo analyzes and delineates. So he understands the different factors that make up the whole. When he's, I haven't read his poetry, but that's what it should do. Describe all the little pieces that are what it is that he's describing. And it's co-joining his part of fortune, so he's very successful at that as well.
He was given the job of writing the poetry for all of the major events in the royal life of Queen Elizabeth and her family, which is pretty amazing.
Well, that's really good. It connected with royalty because his family line has, or the family connection is Leo, which Leo rules royalty, and he's got his son there. So he's connected with royalty. It serves them well. Very much a strong intellectual and a very strong individual. Also, I don't know if your biographies talked about this, but since he has the moon in Uranus, which is the he's on the ascendant on the Uranus north node, are in the both 12th house. He is a person that had needed a lot of time by himself and was somewhat reclusive.
Right. Yeah, very much so. He was a hunter. And a nature person. Actually, I don't think he killed animals per se, but I know that he was very much interested in fishing, was most like what I'm speaking about. Now, what's also really interesting, we discussed before, when a person has 0 degrees of a planet in a particular sign, it can indicate an opportunity for great wealth at some point.
Yeah, well, wealth or very success in writing, because Gemini is the first writing sign. There are other writing signs.
Right.
More writers are in Virgo. Neptune squares that point. But Gemini rules basic mentality and communication, rules languages. So
That's Guess what I just saw?
What?
Venus just entered Libra, correct? So he's got Venus at 5 degrees Libra. So basically, he's also having a Venus return, and Venus also has a lot to do with things like poetry and the art.
Yeah, he's a little Venus today is two, so it's going to happen in a few days. They're going to have a Venus return, so he may be contacting his old mates, his old wives, maybe, even though
they're dead.
Well, I know. He may be contacting them in the astral. You know, I mean,
I don't think he would want to do that.
Well, they may contact him. And he may not be too happy about it because
Maybe it's this show that's going to bring like communications back between people talking about him again. Because really, there's nothing to say about people most likely when they've passed on and they're no longer contributing new work. But hopefully, due to our show, maybe it's going to, I mean, I don't think going to. I think it will actually bring more attention to his work, and maybe we're brought in for that reason. So between both of us, you've never even heard me talk about Ted Hughes, have you?
No, I haven't. But the decanate ruler, the decanate ruler of his house of relationships is Mars, and shows up in his first house. So his marriages were somewhat contentious. The women in his life were angry at him. His both wives, you know. So it's you mentioned they commit suicide as an act of vindictiveness towards him, and I could see that.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But even before they did the act, they were giving him a hard time and telling him off and verbally abusing him. So he's probably not too anxious to see them again.
I have a really weird theory about that. I believe that, and I could be wrong because we can't prove it, okay, but I believe if you kill someone or you do something terrible to that person, that you cannot see that person again, that you won't see that person, because I don't really believe in hell like that, but I believe you sever some kind of connection. And when you go out of your way to hurt somebody the way that they hurt him, to attack themselves, destroy their lives, and to try to throw blame on him, you know, for their own mental illness, I think that that's a form of, like, murder myself. I really think that there's no way that they're really going to ever hook back up with his spirit. I think that they've fallen far beneath the greatness of his spirit.
It can be,
there may be some people out there, maybe even, you know, like Ted's daughter who's still alive that might get pissed off at me saying something like that. But her mother was just, oh, my God, she tried to kill herself several times growing up. So, I mean, how can you blame it on Ted Hughes? Well, now, let me tell you a crazy story, Larry. Tell me what you think about this. They met on February 25th, 1956, at a party. And I was told by Ted's spirit that he met Sylvia Plath at 8:30 p.m. on that night, because that was the day that Libra would have been at a particular degree. Let me see. I actually did the I did this chart.
Now what date was this?
February 25th, 1956. Check this out. According to Ted's spirit, he told me that he met her when the rising sign was 8 degrees of Libra rising.
Oh, Venus was right on his ascendant. He was ready to get married. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, seriously, Larry, this is just
it works out. Yeah, it does work out. I mean, because that works out exactly right, because that's where his Venus is. By the way, that degree, 8 degrees of Libra, where he has his Venus, and he wasn't a painter or anything, but people with that, a lot of people that are interior decorators and designers, costumers, that has a tremendous ability to see colors and to match colors and to combine colors. It's a very artistic degree, but it has to do visually. It's Libra also gives him a sense of beauty when he communicates, but it deals with other professions that are very successful, people that are designers, costumers, have to know these different colors and can see them. So it's he has that in his chart. Also, you know, I mentioned that the north node, or the positive side of the planet Uranus, is at 12 degrees, his ascendant Gemini, but his descendant, the opposite side, his seventh house, is 12 degrees Sagittarius, which is the south node, or the missing piece of Uranus. So his wives would tend to be erratic. He tends to be unusual, unique personality, but they tend to be unique and unusual personalities also, but are lacking abilities. They're just being erratic for the sake of being erratic. He was being erratic or unique and creating something. So they tend to be, if you think, and it rules their fourth house, they tend to come from families or backgrounds that were unstable, and they themselves were unstable. Even if he weren't running around or doing anything else, they would be unstable in their own identities.
Right. Now, let me tell you something really crazy, Larry. The very first time she met Ted Hughes, she bit him on the cheek so hard, blood squirted out of his cheek.
Well, that sounds like the south node of Uranus doing something erratic. And since Uranus is an Aries, it tends to deal with violence or heavy physical contact. Also, they have their Mars in his first house, so they probably not only talked rough to him, but kind of slapped him around or a little violent in the relationship.
Yeah, it sounds like. And then here's the moment of doom. And for everybody listening, you're listening to the Vox Show with featuring Larry Pines, world-class master astrologer. We're discussing the life and poetry of Ted Hughes, the famous 20th century poet. And stick around on the line because I will be taking some calls tonight. So really getting back to this, now let me tell the crown jewel of insanity here. They got married on June 16th, 1956, less than 3 months, or less than 4 months, actually, from the time that they met. They got married very quickly. So they got married when the sun was in Gemini, and the sun, I guess, was crossing over his, you know, which house?
What date was this?
I guess his ninth house. June 16th, 1956.
June 16th.
So the sun was in,
June 16th would be about 25 degrees of Gemini, just past his Mars. So the marriage would be contentious. It's not a good time. You want a Venus aspect when you get married, not a Martian aspect. Mars is the ego. I want it my way. I'm individual. Venus is sharing what we two will do together. So the Mars aspect would ensure the contentiousness and anger that would result in the marriage.
And he had Saturn in his eighth house, and she killed herself in February. So, you know, that's also a very telling sign, I would think, of being a widow. He, like, his partners kept killing themselves.
Right.
Very strange.
Yeah.
We're not laughing at him. We're just laughing at how strange this and specific. Like,
you know his health. Do you know his health situations? He looks like he might have had very bad arthritis.
No, but he passed away of cancer ultimately.
Cancer. Let's see. Was it bone cancer? Or?
I'm not. I don't really remember. But
okay, because
I think actually lung cancer or something. I know that he had smoke.
Gemini would be. Lung cancer because it rules the lungs, but Saturn in the eighth house of death in Capricorn is the bones, especially the knees, So he could have had arthritis also. That is the cause of death or very serious illness that he had. But Geminis, by the way, should never smoke because they rule the lungs, Gemini does, and the lungs, of course, are sensitive to smog or smoke or anything that's deleterious to the lungs. So that's something that I've got a client whose husband is dying of, unfortunately, of lung cancer, and he smokes every day, and he's a Gemini, which no astrologer would recommend, but, you know, people do the wrong things, you know, for themselves. Yeah, I mean, I can't tell my clients what to do. I suggest the best things as far as I can read them. I'm sure any doctor would tell you not to smoke anyway, so it's not unusual advice.
So what did he did he pass away on October 28th, 1998? That's like 7 or 8 degrees Scorpio.
Okay, let me enter that in my computer. What was the date?
October 28th. Yeah, so October 28th. Yeah, so it'd be five degrees of Scorpio when he passed away.
98, yeah. Well, that's where his Saturn is, 5 Scorpio.
Let me see.
Yeah, so it's the sun was on his Saturn that day. So
it had Saturn at 5 degrees Capricorn, actually.
Oh, Capricorn, okay. It would make a sextile, too. That's right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's see.
Larry's thinking out loud to all of our listeners.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Let's see.
While you're figuring it out in your head, one of our writers on our chat room, feel free to go onto our little chat that I opened up. And you can also send me your email address at vox@vox.org, voxx@voxx.org. And send me your email so I can send you invitations to any kinds of other events that will be happening. But so we're talking about the famous poet Ted Hughes. My friend Larry is doing some of his chart over here, and I will be taking some calls in a minute.
Well, he had a, that day it was a sextile, right? A sextile to his Saturn in the house of death, but he had a Venus-Sun conjunction to that point. So his death was very famous and well-respected. So when he died, there was people said, oh, how terrible. Because they really liked him. Sun gives you a little fame there, and Venus, a lot of charm and respect. And so probably famous people were saying, we really love this guy, and he was just terrific.
But he should have known better than to get married.
Right. Well, I mean, being an astrologer himself, he said, you know, just date these women. Even though he was very attractive and women liked him, most of his relations would tend to be combative. The Mars in the first house does that, and one of the rulers of the seventh house. So, you know, I don't tell people what to do, but I would not be careful. Yeah. Don't get married. You know, you'll regret it.
I boss my clients around like all the time.
Yeah, well,
and they didn't listen, but they do now because they saw the writing was on the wall, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so let me tell you something else that's really bizarre about this. I was saying that Sylvia killed herself. She put her children to bed, gave them some milk and bread with butter on it, and they sealed. She taped all the doors so the gas wouldn't come out. Because she didn't want to kill her kids. You know, you got to give her some credit there. So you know, she does that. And there was obviously there was a movie starring Gwyneth Paltrow a few years ago called Sylvia that I actually don't think was a very good movie. I really, after reading every book known to man, I didn't really agree with how they did it. I don't think Daniel Craig was right for that role, but long story short, you know, they made a movie out of it, and the basic idea was that she really was just trying to, I guess, like, end her own pain and all that stuff. I mean, she shouldn't have tried to take it out on so many people. But here's the point of my conversation. Now, this happens to me a lot, and I don't really care if it scares people. It's a true thing. Once in a great while, Larry, somebody will just pop into my head, and I will get obsessed. And I will look up everything I can about that person. Now, in 2008, or actually 2007, out of nowhere, I started thinking about Ted Hughes' son, Nicholas Hughes, Nicholas Farrar Hughes. And I went everywhere trying to find him, and I don't even know why, but I was desperate to meet him. And I was like, I have to talk to this guy. I couldn't find him anywhere. It was like, he was like an invisible person. I told my boyfriend at the time, hey, you know, I'm looking for Nicholas Hughes, and I don't know why. And I was actually very worried about him. I knew nothing about him, knew nothing about where he was, nothing, okay? He was a very private person, obviously. Well, like, I think it was like 2008, all of a sudden my boyfriend says, Box, I have something to say to you. And I said, what? And he goes, Nicholas Hughes. And that's all he said. And I screamed so loud. I instantly saw a vision that Nicholas Hughes, the son of Ted Hughes and Sylvia Plath, had committed suicide. And it was true. He said, Box, I just have to say two words to you. He didn't say what. He could have said surprise. He could have said I have bad news. He didn't say anything. He said, I have two words for you, Nicholas Hughes. And I just lost it. Well, I wound up writing to some of his friends. It turned out he was a scientist, and he studied fish, of all things. And he was very much missing his dad, and him and his dad used to go fishing together all the time. Long story short, he quit his job at a university in Alaska, and on one very sad day, which day I actually kind of put out of my mind right now, but he hung himself, and his friends found him a few days later. So, Nicholas Hughes, if you're out there, you know, rest in peace, my friend. And what a tragic thing to think that your mother gives birth to you, kills herself, you live a whole long life, you become a doctor, you become a scientist, you try to do good things with your life. Who the hell wants to go to Alaska, but it's the most depressing place ever from people that I've spoken to. And he cut himself off from all his friends, and he killed himself. And apparently, I guess I started thinking about him, like, right around the time he started going to a very deep depression a couple years earlier. I read a bunch of poems about him while he was still alive, and so I was really heartbroken that he killed himself. And I just felt maybe that, I don't know, maybe Sylvia or Ted was trying to contact me and say, hey, help my son out. I know that sounds really pompous and really bizarre, but this is a true story, and I have the date and time stamp poetry and all of the internet searches, and I have witnesses to the fact I was actually looking for Nicholas Hughes 3 years before he killed himself. And it really bums me out sometimes, like, you know, every time I get one of these crazy thoughts, it usually turns out to be very tragic. Like, I'm searching for somebody to try to help them or try to look them up or something, and you can't avoid it and you can't help. So it really was very sad, I thought.
Well, you know what the house, you know what the house of children is in the chart? Is the fifth house. And
right.
I'm looking at Ted Hughes' fifth house. Right on that cusp is Neptune, which rules fish. And also,
yeah.
Self-undoing. Self-undoing is suicide.
Very sad.
And looking at his children, they would have a loaded eighth house, which is death. Uranus, kind of shocking. And Moon there, I would assume there's a strong feeling that he had for his mother, loss of mother.
Oh, yeah. He's just 2 years old.
Yeah,
he's just
still
a baby.
Yeah, it's still the mother in the eighth house is what's lost, you know, and with Mercury in the first house, he was probably very, very smart, you know, he's very detailed oriented, very analytical. This is a representation of him through his father and his chart. But by the way, I don't know his chart, but usually people that commit suicide from dropping or falling from guillotines or, well, not from guillotines,
like,
but from hanging or jumping off bridges and things like that, usually have 4 degrees Pisces in their chart. That's that kind of suicide. You find Mars transiting at that point, you'll find in the world a lot of people committing suicide that way. Falling down to death. And,
teenager death.
You know, his Neptune would be approximately in opposition to that, represented in his father's chart at 2 Virgo.
Well, I looked up the day he died was, believe it or not, March 16th, 2009. That's exactly Pisces right there.
Yeah, it has to be, we put his chart together. We had it. You'd find those indicators are there. Pisces, as a sign itself, is the most suicidal sign.
And he was actually a Capricorn, born January 17th, 1962.
Do you know what time of day was he born?
No, I don't think we'll be able to find that.
Yeah, I assume Capricorn, Pisces, right? Excuse me, probably born like 11 in the morning, 10 or 11 in the morning.
Well, you got to mute your phone when you're coughing, dude.
Oh. Let's see my...
bad boy. Let's see what it says, if anything. But I don't
find my mute button.
Yeah, find your
Excuse
mute
me.
Button. And then you have to start coughing.
Yeah.
Or else I'll put you on pause for a second. But I'm going to see if somebody has it over here online. But we're not really trying to actually be the total downers per se. But apparently I don't think anybody really knows what time he was born, I don't think. Oh, yes, we do. He was born, very interestingly enough, he was also born right before midnight. He was born, Nicholas Hughes was born January 17th, 1962 at 11:54 p.m. in a place called North Totten, England. And if I look at his chart, I can actually tell you a couple of things here. If I can, hopefully I can see it. He had something like, hold on, I'm looking it up. I wasn't actually planning on talking about Nicholas in the first place, but he apparently had Libra rising.
Oh, that's, so, yeah, it would be Libra or Virgo around that time.
Yeah.
And what do we find Neptune in his chart?
He's got Neptune in Scorpio in the second house.
Well, that's his rising planet, probably, Neptune. Yeah. There's no planet before Neptune.
No, his rising planet is Libra.
No, but it's his planet, not his sign.
Oh, I see. Saturn is, where is it? It's in his, looks like his fourth house.
Okay, but I'm saying there's nothing in the first house or the second house prior to Neptune. So Neptune is his rising planet. That's the first action he goes to. That's why he likes fishing. And Neptune ruling Pisces tends to be self-sacrificing or self-destructive in many cases. Not always, but That's why he liked fishing, because of if you look at your chart, you'll find the rising planet is the first thing you do in life. It's a sequence of activity that you do. For instance, I'm an astrologer, and the first thing I do is do astrological analysis, because Uranus is my rising planet.
I got disconnected there for a second, guys, so I apologize about that. But, yeah, very crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually has a loaded fourth house. He's got Saturn, Jupiter, the Sun, Venus, and Mars all in his fourth house. I mean, his mother's death really just like...
Right, yeah. His connection to the mother is very important. You
yeah.
know, it's and his, her loss. Where's his moon located?
His moon is also in Gemini, like his dad's.
Okay.
At 25.
His moon is right on his father's Mars.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of physical activity between them.
After his dad died, I think apparently that's when he pretty much lost the will to live, or so people say, you know?
Yeah, I assume that both the mother and father going doesn't leave him a base to go to. I mean, he's out in the wilderness in Alaska, only bears for friends, whatever.
And interesting, he had Pisces rules his sixth house, Pisces fish, you know. It's just like so weird, but his chart is so empty. There's like nothing there. I mean, it's just all these oppositions. It's like there's nothing there. I'm just surprised he like lived as long as he did. It's very sad to see that. I mean, maybe he would have lived longer if he had been a poet or something. You know,
and where is his Venus?
Had Venus in his fourth house in, I would imagine, Capricorn. Yeah. Just really cold.
Yeah, well, Venus would rule his death. So,
also dying at home is the fourth house.
Yeah,
he
wanted to go back to home. Might be that was a psychological impetus. He wanted to go back to his mother, back to the home that he completely lost. You know, he didn't have a home anymore.
I do think, according to Shadi, also has Uranus at 29 degrees Leo, which to me that always just tells me a person can make a sudden decision and do something crazy.
Yeah, well, 29 is the most difficult degrees of any sign. The end of each sign just before it reaches the cusp of the next sign. And it brings problematic situations at 29. So there's erratic behavior occurring that he's exemplifying in his life.
Well,
or his
do, right? Well, what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to take a couple of quick calls and we'll get back to some of the rest of our show. So if you can hold on, okay? While you
okay.
Get a few things out. So hold on and stick with the show, okay, my friend?
Okay, I'll be here.
All righty, hold on. So over here talking to my friend Larry Pines, we're discussing the life and works of Ted Hughes, a great poet of the 20th century, and we took a little sad detour through the suicide of Ted Hughes' only son, Nicholas Farrar Hughes. And I'm pretty darn sure nobody's ever talked about it on any show anywhere, so this will be an important show for you guys to check out. I'm going to take a couple of calls here. Personally, people have been nice enough to hold on, so we'll see what happens. So hi there, you're with Vox the Psychic. What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
You with us? I'm fine. So how's everything going?
Oh, it's a little tense right now.
It sucks. It sucks, basically.
If I don't laugh, I'll cry.
But how could you frame a question where it might have some kind of a tie-in to the tonight's topic?
I feel like jumping off a bridge.
Let's don't do that, shall we?
No.
What's your birthday? What's your first name? What's your first name?
Lisa. Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
I'm a Pisces. My birthday is March 7th, 1962. That's weird. 66,
is
like you were talking
about. Is this show scaring the crap out of you, or what?
Yeah, it's
pretty crazy show tonight. Well, obviously you can see that Pisces energy around you can just make it seem like there's just no light after the dark. And what year were you born, Lisa?
62, the same year as me. 62, the same year he was born.
Yeah, well, how weird is that?
I'm born on the 7th, March 7th, same day.
Yeah. Well, what's upsetting you right now? I mean, because it feels like relationships are very much falling apart. Is that true?
Oh, my God. Well, I have Pluto in the 7th house, so, and I know that's destruction. I feel like everybody around me is against me. Right now I'm living with family, and they want me to get out. I still don't have a job. My sister told me today to get out by Friday. I had a fight with my twin brother. Oh, my God. I had fights with my kids. Oh, I mean, God, I feel, I don't know where to turn to. I really don't.
I'm glad I picked up your phone call. Now, here's what I want you to do, Lisa. I want you to open your mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to realize something that's going to be challenging for me to say and challenging for you to hear. But you're so mad at yourself that there's a level of self-hatred right now that's going so deep about failures or perceived failures in your life. And what you are doing is you are doing things that you know piss people off so they will attack you and throw you out. So you can have a really good reason to be depressed. How fucked up is that? Pardon my friend.
Oh, my God.
Can you see how pissed off you are at yourself right now? And I can't believe I'm here. I'm not trying to make you feel worse. I'm trying to let you know that you're hitting yourself in the head with a hammer, and you're the person who's creating the drama, and other people can't handle it anymore. And so that's why they're asking you to leave. That's what's creating this. You really need some very serious therapy. No, you're not crazy. You're not crazy at all. You just wish you were crazy so somebody could just take care of you for 5 minutes. But as you can see, that hasn't worked out. And I'm trying not to be mean to you. And in fact, I'm not being mean to you at all. I'm telling you the truth, and I do hope that you understand what I'm saying. Because suicide is not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not. As you could see from when Sylvia Plath killed herself, she killed her son at the same moment she killed herself because he lived to be almost 40 years old, but he himself killed himself. What kind of legacy is that? You don't want to be remembered like that. So you
know,
my
father killed himself too, and so did my nephew.
Unbelievable. I mean, for our listeners out there, you couldn't make this call up if you tried. And my heart's really going out to you right now, Lisa. And I will say, I've never lost people in my life that were connected to me in that way, but I've lost almost 80 people in my life through death, through suicide, murder, just name something. So there's a reason why I think that God has, like, given me these abilities to speak with the dead and to hopefully talk with people on a psychic level, you know? And the most important thing is, instead of allowing this grief to kill you, instead of allowing it to consume you and vampirize the rest of your, what could be a great life, believe it or not, okay, you've got to get your strength back. You've got to realize why people don't want you around right now. And I'm not on their side at all. But I want you tonight, and I don't want you to get depressed over it, I want you to be strong. And see, what is it that I'm doing that is pissing people off and making them want to kick me to the curb? And what you're going to find is that right now you need so much, and other people around you, they cannot or won't feed you. They just don't have the energy to watch over you anymore. And that also makes them feel guilty. So can you see, by looking at you every day, it makes them feel like crap? Could you see that?
Yeah.
Would you want to look at somebody who makes you feel like crap all day? No. Does that mean that you that you're guilty? No. Not at all. It's just I'm just trying to explain why people seem to be so mean to you right now. They're just being mean. But it's the only way that they know how to, like, get themselves away from you so that they will stop seeing how they might have played into your misfortune in this life. How they could have, should have, would have come to your aid or come to the aid of your son or your nephew when they had a chance. And they didn't. I do feel you have been tremendously let down. Now, yeah. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what you're here for. How pompous is that? Is that pretty pompous? Pretty pompous, even for a book. I'm going to tell you that you're here to write your story. Do you think that you lived through all this crap for nothing? That's not true. You lived for a very important purpose. No, I don't think you came down off a fluffy cloud into this life to try to guide people, because God knows you feel completely lost yourself. How are you supposed to guide people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, by telling people what you've been through is a way to guide other souls and other people away from the danger and the misfortune that you yourself have lived through. That in some way makes it a little better. Does it justify all the pain and suffering you've been through? Hell no. I don't believe that at all. But can you still salvage something from your life? I believe the answer is yes. Now, how in the world did I wind up talking about Nicholas Hughes? Because trust me, I'm trying to talk about Ted Hughes for the last hour. And obviously, and you're the first person on the list to call. You didn't know about Nicholas Hughes, did you?
No.
Have you ever heard of him? Have you ever heard of him
No.
before?
Never.
And can you imagine that his spirit is reaching through the airwaves to try to prevent one more piece of damage from happening to somebody that he shares so much with? How crazy is that? And you need to get away from the cold area. What area are you in? You need to be living where it's nice and warm and sunny. Where are you at?
In Florida.
Because Florida is a place that comes up. That's why I'm seeing the sunshine. But your whole area inside your head is just cold, like snowy and cold. That's just how your energy feels right now. You need to snap yourself out of it. You need to go to a place where you don't have to pay for counseling. And you need to see if you can find a nice women's shelter around there. And turn yourself in and get somebody to help you out. So I'm urging a women's shelter, and I'm very strongly urging mental health counseling, because you really desperately need it, and not because you're crazy, okay? But you're so overwhelmed with depression, and you just don't know where to turn now. And I do believe that there are mental health resources for you around that area where you're at. Because I was feeling you need to be in a warm place, and despite being exactly where you should be, you're still not feeling good. So it's not really the outside weather that you need to handle. It's the inside weather of being depressed and unhappy and having had to live through these tragedies in your life. I mean, it's really not fair for all that to happen to one person, but it did. But there is no reason to kill yourself. Because I will say one thing, and I said it before and I can't prove it. When you kill yourself, it's almost one of the reasons why it's so bad to even do that or think about it is it separates you karmically for like a very long time from being able to reach the people that you want to reach. It's such a serious lack of faith in God. That's what the sin is about suicide. And I'm not trying to be religious or guilt trip you, but I understand why they called it a sin. Because to just completely lose all belief or all hope, that's the worst thing that can happen to anybody. And, of course, hurting yourself during a time like that is understandable, but it's not going to fix anything. It's going to, like, leave a beautiful picture unfinished. And you know what? The fact that you even called this show was only set up last night, and I was actually going to do it yesterday night, which was Ted's actual birthday. And look how you wound up being the first person that I decided to talk to. There's a whole bunch of other people waiting on there. And I took your call, and look how connected your situation is to exactly what we're talking about. So that, to me, is a sign that God is with you, that somebody's watching over your shoulder. Hopefully just like connecting us right now so I kind of beat you up a little bit and give you back some of your courage. Because I'm sure not here to criticize you or to make you more depressed. But somebody needs to rough you up just a little bit, slap you gently on the cheek and say, let's wake up, Lisa. Let's wake up. Let's don't let this be the final moment of your life. Let's don't let other people's opinions of you make a difference in a negative way. Let's not worry about what other people say or do about you. Remember, people are upset with you because you remind them that they haven't done enough for you. Why hasn't the people in your life told you, let's go get some counseling? Why? Why not? You've got to pick yourself up. Yeah. So why would they tell you you need help when they need help? It's like a fat person giving you a diet. It's like, you know, the fat person obviously doesn't know how to do the diet or they wouldn't be fat. But you're calling tonight, and it's a very powerful phone call. You couldn't make this up. It's a very powerful connection that obviously somebody wants you to keep on living. Somebody wants you to get it together. So what I want you to do, I'm going to let you go for now, but I want you to write to me. Do you have access to a computer to write on? Okay, I want you to write me tomorrow at vox@vox.org, and let me know it was Lisa, and then send me your birth info, and I'll do my best to help you. I'll get you a chart, and I'll try to guide you to some kind of sanity and some kind of real answer, not just some blah, blah, blah over the phone with the psychic. I'll give you a real thing to do, real people to contact, and get you back on your feet, okay?
Do you think she's going to come Friday and tell me out? Or do you think she's just bluffing because she's done this before?
I think she really wants you to go. And if I were you, and I'm not, but if I was, I would find a way to get out of that house, even if I had to go to a women's shelter. And I'll tell you why. Being around those people isn't fixing anything, is it?
No, it's making it worse.
All it's doing is it's making you spend precious time with people that cannot help you. You need real therapy. You need real people. You need a real shelter. You need a real place to go. And then I'm going to strongly suggest that you start writing your story. And I'll help you all that I can, but you got to write to me tomorrow. You won't have to remind me of the question, obviously, or the situation. I will remember this phone call forever. But I want you to write me, connect with me, and I'll see what I can do. I have a lot of health professionals in my life, and I will try to guide you to some kind of real safe place for you to continue to live and grow and heal over all this tragedy that you've lived through. Now, I believe that you can do it, and I'm going to pull a card based on this. You got the Three of Cups, which is the card of abundance. It's Mercury in Cancer. It's poetry. And how did we connect tonight? Through poetry. And I'm literally just reading your cards. So, Pisces are great poets. They're very deep. They're very spiritual. So tonight, before you go to bed, and this is your homework, I want you to write a 6-line poem. And it doesn't have to rhyme. And I want you to send it to me. Because, obviously, the spirit of Ted Hughes, the spirit of Sylvia Plath, the spirit of Nicholas Hughes, these are three poets, three tremendous people, you know, and they both suffered, they all suffered tremendously through suicide and depression. So, even though Ted lived a long life, trust me, can you imagine having to live with that grief of people blaming you for their suicide? You see what I'm saying? So let's banish the suicidal thoughts. And if you write to me afterwards or whatever, I want you to call right now after we're done. I want you to call Suicide Hotline. And let me see if I have the number. You want to write it down? Will you write it down if I give it to you? Hold on. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. And for anybody else out there that's listening to this right now, it's the number is 1-800.
Wait a minute.
And that's actually very easy. I'm going to tell you, you're going to remember it. It's 1-800-SUICIDE, literally, is the suicide hotline. And also suicidehotlines.com. Mm-hmm. And here's the actual number that you can call, okay? Do you have your pen out there?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have your pen? Okay, the number's 1-800. And let me give you the one for Florida. And not because I really think you're going to kill yourself tonight or anytime soon, but I just want you to like, have it. You know what I mean? So the number is 1-800-273-8255. So read it back to me. Read it back to me, Lisa.
1-800-273-8255.
Right, and it's... The last 8255 is the word talk, or 1-800-SUICIDE. Because you're not there yet, but trust me, the emotions that I'm feeling from you, I know that you've really been considering some very dark thoughts. And I got to tell you, I really feel like you're going to listen to me. I think you're going to pull through. I don't know why. I've had a couple clients that didn't pull through. But I think you can make it, because part of your faith tonight is even just having the bravery to reach out to somebody. So you're actually very brave, and also very brave to talk about it where other people can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And just how weird is it that you share almost the same birthday with the person we've been talking about and have mm-hmm. the same situation? I mean, that's just not a coincidence. And I know that you know that. And the people listening know that too. You can't fake this. Now, I'm going to keep you in my prayers tonight, but I want you to write me, and tonight before you go to bed, I want you to call somebody over there, and I want you to promise me you're going to do it. Because obviously, there's quite a few spirits out here tonight, and we've made a direct connection. And I got to tell you, I feel very positive talking to you right now, because I believe there's an angel that made you pick up the phone. I mean, I don't advertise. I don't even advertise. And in the middle of the night in Los Angeles and in Florida, here we are chatting, you know. So there's a reason for it. So I want you to go out there and do what I'm telling you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then write to me tomorrow, and I'll try to guide you in some meaningful way psychically, okay, my friend?
Okay, thank you.
God bless you, my friend. Everybody out there, all of our listeners, let's say a little prayer for Lisa tonight. And then I'll be doing another show in the next few days, so I want you to call me back and let me know how you're doing, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Lots of love, Lisa. God bless you. Bye-bye now. I'm not going to hang up on you. I'm just going to mute your microphone, okay? So that was our friend, Lisa. We'll have to say a wonderful prayer for our dear friend. And like I say, now maybe you guys believe me. I mean, how weird is it we're sitting here trying to do like a session with Ted Hughes and we go off into a tangent about Nicholas Hughes, and one of our wonderful listeners out there has almost the same exact birthday and has lived through several of the same tragedies and was having a lot of depressive thoughts. So let's, get our heads together and think positive thoughts and try to move on from that. So I'm going to see how our friend Larry is doing. So, Larry,
hi.
What did you think about that?
It shows you that there are higher forces taking place all over the place. You know, that...
that's just insane.
You know, that there's a reason... I really believe in predestination. I know you may not, but I believe we have... reason for being, and
so I see that a lot more now. Like, I do believe we have free will, but I do believe that things are the way that they are for a really interesting reason.
Mm-hmm. You know, God seems to know why we're here, and, you know, it's planned out our lives. And I think we have
we have certain levels of free will, I do believe.
But
that.
not as much as people think we have. You know, I mean, I don't know if I had a pastor that would teach us from John Calvin's teaching. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
John Calvin believed in mostly predestination. You know, that.
Well, I'm gonna put you on hold for another second over here, because I'm gonna try to do a few little things with the Ted Hughes subject. Also, and Larry, you got to turn your other radios and televisions off.
No, there's nothing. That's the narrator on my computer. I got to get rid of her too.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that. Turn that off. But
right.
I'll get back with you in a few minutes. I'm gonna get back to Ted Hughes here for a second. So see if you can get rid of that extra sound, and then
I will.
Put online, okay?
She comes back, and I don't even like her, but she starts talking.
Okay, so I'm gonna put you on hold for a second, and I'm gonna take one more call over here really fast. Hold on one sec.
Okay.
So, guys are with the Vox the Psychic Show featuring Larry Pines, and who am I speaking with?
Hi.
Are you there?
My name's Brittany.
Hi, Brittany. So what made you listen to the show tonight?
I was just interested, and honestly, I didn't really know much about the poet you were speaking of, but it was very interesting, and then how everything added up.
Well, what can I help you with that? We have, like, I'm taking a couple little short calls, and hopefully you're doing better than our friend Lisa.
Yeah.
Out there. What did you think
about
that phone call?
I'm sending her love and light. It's sad. It's very sad.
What did you know? You're just like, I've never spoken to you before, right? So
right.
What did you think when she shared all those same kinds of planets as that gentleman I was speaking about?
I mean, you know, I don't believe in coincidences, so I think.
Well, I don't either.
So clearly,
but it's very
that just
yeah.
established, you know, that belief. You know, clearly she needed a helping hand and someone to listen, and, you know, for some reason she tuned into this, and it helped her, you know. She could change her whole life around. She will change her whole life around.
No, I believe so, too. So thank you for those kind words. So how can I help you tonight, Brittany? Anything, or you just want to do?
Well, I'm also a Leo.
This must be Leo Pisces night. Oh, my gosh. What's your birthday?
It's August 7th, and I was born 1985 at 12:39 p.m.
Okay, let's check that out with Larry.
Yeah,
but,
I'm just curious about it.
Well, you know, the Leo men have the tougher time with the relationships. You know,
they do.
They're just not faithful. And, you know, maybe they never will be. We don't know. But according to what I'm getting from you, it's like you need to, like, start concentrating more on your personal life and not pay so much attention to, your, like, these so-called relationships around you. Because it feels like your relationships are taking you off your path. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm actually reading the tarot cards, doing astrology at the same time, and twice in a row, out of a deck of 80 cards that are totally shuffled, and I pull at random, you got the Emperor card both times, which is an Aries card, which means it's like...
Gonna, oh, gosh. My ex-person's an Aries,
Yeah, and you know what? Even though some of your energies blend okay, he is jealous of the things that you can actually do on your own. My feeling is that he keeps trying to hold you back, and I don't feel he's a bad guy. But he's jealous of you in some really weird way. And that seems weird to you because you just don't, you're not that egotistical for a Leo. You know?
No.
You're just not. So he's trying to hold you back. I get a feeling he thinks that you're going to do something creative and very artistic and very powerful with your life. And he looked really great maybe a couple of years ago. But he's not looking that good right now. And I don't mean physically. You know? He needs, like,
yeah.
Maybe before you might have needed him, but now he needs you. And it's like time to move on, Brittany.
Yeah.
And you know,
I just wonder.
You can actually. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, I was going to say, I'm fighting also, too, with my best friend who also happens to be in Aries, and I'm wondering if that's a relationship that can be salvaged, but it's a friendship. It's with someone who's like a sister to me.
Well, the Aries women are very perfectionistic, and they're they're overbearing, like me, except without tarot cards. At least when I'm bossing somebody around, I have some kind of great psychic excuse for it. But I don't know. It just, now, do you have lighter hair?
Yeah.
Who's got the, because I'm feeling you. And you see, I mean, I don't have a web camera on or anything. But I'm feeling that you're very attractive and that you don't really have the self-esteem that you should have. And I feel that some people have gotten used to you kind of being down on yourself and letting them control you. And all of a sudden, it feels like you're starting to wake up and start feeling better about yourself. And these other people are still in their old pattern of trying to give you advice that you're not asking for, bossing you around, being a little bit overbearing. And it's like you need, you know what, I'm going to save you right now. You're going to send a link of our conversation in this archived show to your friends. You can actually play it out loud on your speakers and record just the parts where we're talking and play it back for your friends. So instead of you having to tell them, you can let me tell them for you. Because right now you don't feel strong enough, just this minute, to stand up for yourself the way that you really need to. Because sometimes you think standing up for yourself is being mean, and that's not
true. Yeah, I'm just not confrontational.
Yeah. But you know what? I've gotten into more problems in my life not handling the confrontation when it needed to happen. And those problems can last for years. They really can. They don't go away. It's like not paying your taxes. Oh, yeah, they're going to forget about you. No, they're not.
Yeah.
You know? So what you got to do, feel free to tape record part of this show and play it for your friends. But the other part is if this woman is not going to respect your autonomy, your newfound sense of self, and your decision of what you want to do and where you want to go and how you want to get there, then you're going to have to just sever that relationship for at least the time being. And if she doesn't really want to get that, then you're going to have to say, well, when you're ready to get on board for the new me, here's my number. Feel free to call. If you can't handle who I'm becoming, you can't be happy for me, even if I'm making a mistake that I need to learn from, then really I don't have the chance right now or need or desire to talk to you any further. And you're going to have to be frank about it.
I
would leave it alone. You know, if she was still in your life, I'd tell you, you have to address it. If she's not, then kind of be glad you don't have to confront her as well. You know, but you're obviously not mixing very well with the Aries people, are you?
Yeah, I'm really not, which is weird because I always did, and now it's like complete turnaround.
Now. Well, here's the problem. The problem is not you. The planet Uranus moved into Aries March 8th, 2011, the day the tsunami happened in Japan, the one that I predicted was going to happen. And I'm not kidding. You can check out my blog. What does that mean? It means that people that are under the sign of Aries now have Uranus, a planet of explosions and sudden change and sudden anger and sudden outbursts. Their planet is in the sign of war for the last 3 years.
Yeah, so true.
And it's going to be there for another, I think, 10, 12 years. So if you can't handle it now, most likely the change has happened for the worst. And what you got to do is like what we did for our friend Lisa, just let it go, say your prayers, think the best, and keep on moving. You can't really keep going back there. And if you really think about it, she did you a favor. She really did. She left first, and she made you have to grow up in certain kind of ways. So she's really doing you a favor. Don't think she's doing it on purpose. Aries don't usually do you a favor on purpose. They're kind of selfish, Hate to say it. But that's what I think right now. I would just say, let these relationships go. Wish them the best. Keep on moving. And one day I will have the overhead camera so you can see that I just pulled your Leo card out of a deck of 80 cards completely at random with my eyes closed. That's what it's saying. You're a creative, strong, powerful individual who's just coming into her own. So let's own it and feel good about it. And don't be sad about these other relationships because they served their purpose when they were there. But you've outgrown them, and that's actually a good sign for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's one Virgo relationship I'm kind of sad about, but I'm not sure if it'll be over or not.
Well, the Virgos, and I just pulled the Virgo card out of nowhere. This is a person who you have to keep cultivating, and it feels like you have to spend a lot of time making things right with that person all the time. It's like, it's kind of, you need to get paid for that friendship. It seems very draining. Like you have to do a lot of work to keep that thing floating, I suggest going out to a party, going to some meetups at meetup.com in your area, and getting a couple of new friends. That's what I suggest. Because, if it's a real friendship, you shouldn't have to try that damn hard. I mean, seriously. You know what I mean? So that's kind of tough advice, but it's the right advice in the sense that you're just spending too much time on other people. Remember, that's the first thing I said.
Yeah.
And it's all about you. And if other people think you're like, a smug little bitch, great. Just say, well, cool. Yeah, I'm a Leo. I'm supposed to be that way. Don't take it too personally. Just realize this is one of the best times of your life. Why spend it like trying to feel bad about what other people think about you?
Yeah.
Seriously. Like when people call into the show, they can either believe I'm a real psychic. They may just want a free reading. They may not give two flips about me, whatever. But they're still going to call and still try to find out what I've got to say. And if they don't want to believe it, hey, guess what? I really don't mind. I really don't. You know how good you are. You know what you know what's going on. I know what's going on. Hey, do we need to prove stuff to other people? Really? Who's got time for that? If people don't understand who you are and what you're trying to do, then say, gee willikers, that's really sad. And keep on moving.
Okay.
When you go into a restaurant and you order something, they say, I'm sorry, we just ran out. Do you stand there and cry because they ran out? Or you just go to another restaurant where they have it. That's life.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody can't get what you want, don't sit around and moan about it and get sad. Just go, okay, I'm going to go where I'm going to get what I want. And that makes you happy, and it makes other people happy, too. And you'll see that. But anyway, I'm going to let you go for right now, Brittany, but I keep you on my prayers. And write to me at vox@vox.org and join our page on Facebook.
I definitely will.
And keep in touch. And let me know how you're doing and let your friends know about the show.
I really appreciate it.
You take care, my friend. God bless you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon,
okay?
Thank you. That's I know. I'm not going to hang up on you, but I'm just going to mute your mic. Okie doke. So that's our little friend, Brittany. So we'll see if Larry's still hanging about. It's our little friend, Larry. Hey, Larry.
Yeah,
how
I'm
you
still
doing?
Here. I got rid of that automatic voice. I can't get rid of her on my computer. She sneaks in, and even though if I get her out, she gets the last word in. But
that's so weird.
Yeah, we've got 5 more years, by the way, of Aries in Uranus and Aries. So we're looking for explosive temperamental outbursts in the Earth and the people of the Earth, which is happening, you can see, in Egypt and some other places where people are suddenly becoming violent and things popping up very, very rapidly. We have 5 more years of this. Fortunately, after that, Uranus goes into Taurus and we can be constructive. And,
well, that'll be good.
You know, it's a lot of invention and building took place in the United States, the railroads and...
That's going to be falling down.
Oh, yeah, well, you'd have to do a lot of reconstruction because the country is falling down right now. I mean, we're not doing any... We're retreating instead of building the United States. So it's... like the Transcontinental Railroad was built in Uranus and in Taurus, and a lot of big things are built. You know, it's a sign of building. But you know, it's a combination. We need wars once in a while, and
yeah, but we need to stop now because we run out of money.
Oh yeah, well, right. We I tell you something. I've said this in my church all the time. I said this is insane that we're getting broke in the United States and we're spending billions killing people overseas that we have no right to be there. Just leave them alone. We're creating more enemies. We're not destroying our enemies. We're creating more enemies than we've had before. That's a political statement, but it's based on my Christian beliefs. And I, you know, can't agree that we should be in any other country but the United States. Leave the rest of the world alone. Let them do what they
want to
do.
That's so bad for Egypt. Because I've had a few lives as an Egyptian. I can't prove that, but obviously it's just terrible what's going on over there.
Yeah, it's getting into a chaotic state. Unfortunately, I'm looking at the retrograde position of Uranus, and I think what will happen is this will go on and get bigger and bigger. I don't want that to happen, but astrologically I see it moving in a very, very destructive way, not only affecting Egypt but affecting the world and the oil supply of the world, creating a great deal of economic distress.
Yeah.
You know, it's... you know, I look at planets and I read them, but I don't necessarily like what I see, but I just will try to read them as honestly and correctly as possible.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine, like, just trying to talk about Ted Hughes has opened up this whole can of other
situations? Yes, well, I think that's what I'm getting at in the world's what's happening with God and his... the predestination of man, you know, that we're all here sent for on assignments to do things, and we're all doing it, we're all interconnecting, and we give ourselves as humans too much credit for running the show.
Yeah, well, that's why I think nature, you know, is so important in Ted Hughes' poetry. He's always talking about the majesty of nature and how it really can't be, you know, one upped. You just have to, like, follow nature, you know?
Yes.
But, some of our people are asking for a good website for planets and astrology, and yes, my website, voxthepsychic.com, voxthepsychic.com, and I'm also, as well as Larry, we're available for personal readings, which mostly, since we travel a lot, we do things online or over the phone. So you always write to schedule something with either me or Larry by writing to vox@vox.org, voxx@voxx.org.
So, yeah, if you want your charts done and all that kind of stuff, that would be helpful for you. So now I thought, since it is Ted Chi's birthday, I'm going to read a couple of poems. So sit back and enjoy the ride. I'm going to put your microphone on mute for a second, Larry, but stay on the line because we're still going to do more stuff, okay?
Okay.
Well done. So since this is the celebration of Ted Chi's birthday, I wanted to check a few things out and read maybe a few poems, things of that nature. And if you want to, and I hope that you do want to, you might want to join the Ted Hughes poetry page that I've started over here on Facebook, which is facebook.com/Ted.Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S. Period poetry. So join our page, and I may also be holding on some really cool kind of events for poets out here in the near future, which might be kind of fun for everyone. So Ted's written like huge chunks of books that are just, you know, there's just so many poems that he's written. There's just a million of them out there. Like they can fit to a huge 3-inch thick book. So one of my, you know, to get his collected works is really good. So I want to read a Ted Hughes poem right now called Hawk Roosting. I sit in the top of the wood, my eyes closed, in action, no falsifying dream, between my hooked head and hooked feet, or in sleep rehearse, perfect kills and eat. The convenience of the high trees, the air's buoyancy and the sun's ray are of advantage to me, and the earth's face upward for my inspection. My feet are locked upon the rough bark. It took the whole of creation to produce my foot, my feather. Now I hold creation in my foot, or fly up and revolve it all slowly. I kill where I please because it is all mine. There is no sophistry in my body. My manners are tearing off heads, the allotment of death, for the one path of my flight is direct, through the bones of the living. No arguments assert my right. The sun is behind me. Nothing has changed since I began. My eye is permitted no change. I am going to keep things like this. That was the poem Hawk Roosting by the great Ted Hughes. And what is that poem all about? It's what we're talking about, nature. And animals in nature, they don't sit around and talk about God and the sun and religion and what shows on at 10 p.m. and, you know, do they pay their gas bill? Animals are just pure spirit. They just do what they do. They see food, they go after it. They see shelter, they go for it. They see a mate, they fertilize it. They create life, they tend to death, and then they move on. You know, there's no funeral for birds, okay? They just lay where they drop, and the world keeps on spinning. And when you look at life through the eyes of poetry, you might be inspired at some point to play with the different ideas that you get as a poet. And I'm going to read another one. This is a short one. Examination at the womb door. That's W-O-M-B, like the womb of being born. Examination at the womb door by Ted Hughes. Who owns those scrawny little feet? Death. Who owns this bristly, scorched-looking face? Death. Who owns these still-working lungs? Death. Who owns this utility coat of muscles? Death. Who owns these unspeakable guts? Death. Who owns these questionable brains? Death. All this messy blood? Death. These minimum efficiency eyes? Death. This wicked little tongue? Death. this occasional wakefulness, death, given, stolen, or held pending trial, held. Who owns the whole rainy, stony earth, death? Who owns all of space, death? Who is stronger than hope, death? Who is stronger than the will, death? Stronger than love, death? Stronger than life, death? But who is stronger than death? Me, evidently. Pass, crow. Poem. Examination of the Womb Door by Ted Hughes. Does that sound like a depressing poem? Not really. I mean, you come into life and there's really only one destination, and that's getting out of life. Does it have to be a sad thing? Nope. Now, who is Crow at the end? That is the crow totem animal that Ted Hughes so loved and wrote so much about. And apparently who conquers death is whoever thinks that they do, who is not thinking about death, just keeps on living. For those who keep on going, for those who keep on going and keep living and stop asking questions like, oh, what does it all mean? There is no death. You don't have time to sit around and think about death while you're busy living. You got to think about it that way, and it will really help you a great deal. I'm going to read a couple more. One's another poem by Ted Hughes, the great 20th century poet laureate of England, and one of my favorite poets of all time. This is a poem called God's Grandeur by Ted Hughes. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil, crushed. Why do men then now not wreck his rod? Generations have trod, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. The soil is bare now, nor can foot feel being shod. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights of the black west went, O morning at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with, bright wings. So despite what you might think, God's Grandeur, the poem, I followed up a slightly more sad one to lift your spirits. And hopefully you guys will rise to the Vox Challenge and check out some of the Ted Hughes other poems. And I'm going to close the poetry part of our reading with my favorite Ted Hughes poem called The Thought Fox. I imagine this midnight moment's forest. Something else is alive beside the clock's loneliness and this blank page where my fingers move. Through the window I see no star, something more near, though deeper within darkness, who's entering the loneliness. Cold, delicately as the dark snow, a fox's nose touches twig, leaf. Two eyes serve a movement that now and again now and now and now sets neat prints into the snow between trees, and warily a lame shadow lags by a stump in hollow of a body that is bold to come. Across clearings an eye, a widening, deepening greenness, brilliantly, concentratedly coming about its own business. Till with sudden, sharp, hot stink of fox, it enters the dark hole of the head. The window is starless still. The clock ticks. The page is printed. And that's the poem, The Thought Fox by Ted Hughes. And what's interesting about that poem, he likens his mind to like a white place full of snow. And the thought that he's looking for sneaks into his head very quietly and very cagily until suddenly the footsteps of the fox turn into the writing of his hand on the white blank page that looks like snow. And he puts his words down. And finally, the page is printed. So he's able to see these abstract thought processes in such a wonderful way. And he puts his words in such a natural form that it's absolutely enchanting. And I fell so in love with that poem. And there's so many other great poems by Ted Hughes. If you actually go to vox.org, my blog site, voxx.org, and scroll to the bottom of the page, you can actually buy the Ted Hughes book of his collected poems. And every person that buys one of the Ted Hughes books from my site actually helps pay for my site. So that's really great news. So check that out. And I really encourage every one of you to get out there, get your pens out, and start writing your feelings. All of you out there who are depressed, sad, angry, pissed off, happy, inspired, write it down. And I would love to receive copies of your poems sent to me, and just let me know that you heard the show tonight and what your thoughts are. And I'm going to take one final call for the night. And let's see what happens. I'm going to check this one last person out. Hi there. You're on the Vox show.
Oh, it was still listening.
Is that Brittany?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna check on mute. I was like, oh, I've spoken with her. Thanks for staying online. So I'm going to check out this another person over here.
Okay,
see
thank
what's
you.
Going on. You're welcome. So let's check it out. Hi, you're on the Vox show. What's up? You still there?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the Vox show. How's it going?
Good. I can't tell if you're talking to me or somebody else.
I'm talking to 424. Is that you?
Yes, that's me. It's Vanessa.
Vanessa, I thought I recognized that phone number. Like, I got to take this call.
I was putting out all the psychic vibes I could. I miss you.
I miss you, too. We're going to have everybody listening out there and interested in tarot. We're going to have, like, some more tarot meetups. And Vanessa kindly, like, lets us do our meetings at her place. So rewrite and find out about more about that. So how's everything going, my friend?
I am very happy, but I just broke up with someone and I kind of just started seeing someone else. So I was just hoping for a little insight either on a reassurance on knowing that what I ended was for the best or that what I'm currently doing is okay.
And what's the birthday of the last person?
3/15/64. He's a Pisces. And I know they're not doing so hot, so that would make sense.
Are we going to laugh or not?
When I was listening to Lisa, I was like, he is not to that extent. But the things about screwing up and pissing off people around him, I was like, oh, he's doing that too.
So you definitely don't need a Pisces in your life. No.
Okay.
Forget it. And you did the right thing, obviously. I mean, why do you have two kids? You know? Do you need to add a third? No. What's the birthday of the next person that we're talking about?
It's 11/22, and I think the year is 76.
He's going to drive you absolutely insane, if he hasn't done so already. He's cute, handsome, sexy, fun, and he will cheat on you, and you'll want to cut a bitch by the time you're done with him. Hopefully you know this.
I'm sure he does.
Down to hell. Vanessa, it is so clear that you just need to be a superstar and just, you know, go out with Leonardo DiCaprio or somebody, or Bradley Cooper or somebody really good. These guys on the lower end of the totem pole, they're just not up to snuff. They're just not. So I would suggest strongly dating them, having some fun sex, but in a very protected way, and then just keep on moving.
Okay.
Sagittarius and Taurus will never happen because you're going to care too much. And he's just going to look like he's going to do. Now, he's got to be a great actor. So where did you meet him?
We actually met online, but not like on a dating site. This is very randomly how we met. We're talking
right.
about 1122, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, he is a great actor, and he is getting his Sagittarius card. You know better than to get involved with the Sagittarius for 0 degrees Sagittarius. He's going to be Sagittarius of all Sagittarians. Cute, funny, charming, but you know what you want, and Sagittarius is not going to give it to you. He's
okay.
not. So I
How
was
the deal
out.
With the Pisces?
You know what? Don't even go there.
Okay.
Don't even get. That's how you trick. That's how the male Pisces trick you. They keep making you think something's going to happen that's different. And it just doesn't happen. It's like, all right. Have you ever watched a really boring movie? And every few
yeah.
seconds you think something's going to happen, like Twilight maybe? It definitely happens. And you're like, oh, and then tune in for the sequel. I'm like, screw that. I was already bored for 2 hours. I'm not going to pay for another one of these things. So Pisces, they need too much. And they are very cute, but I suggest you just don't go there. And we can get
we haven't talked in a while, so that's good.
No, just leave him alone when he calls. Say, you know, really, we're not really on the same page. Gotta go. Bye.
Okay.
Exactly. I want to say one thing to that. So one day, you are going to call me, and we're going to do a reading, and I'm going to go, oh, he's here. That's the one. It will happen.
Is it?
I guarantee it.
Is it kind of soon, or we're still a bit away?
Well, considering who these two guys are, apparently he's not just here around this moment, no. But instead of worrying about when they show up, you want to be more concerned about the right person showing up. And I know that you really are wanting the right person. I do know that. I do know that. So, but the main thing is, apparently, keep shopping. I'll tell you by the time you meet this guy. I swear to God, I will tell you when I hear the right birthday, I'll go, okay, that's him. I mean, seriously, you've known me for a long time, and I said no to all these ones, and they all sucked, correct?
Yes, they all suck.
And thank you for being so honest, and no, nobody knows your last name, so don't worry.
Some are just cuter than others, but they all suck.
They all suck. They were cute. They were there for a few minutes. I mean, one of the times I told you, no, you did get married and you had some beautiful kids, but it, at what cost? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You have to do all the hard work. So
yes.
let's do a better, more deep, intense reading when I see in person and see what's coming up in the future, because you only have like a couple minutes right now.
Okay.
I'm not saying the Sagittarius isn't cute and nice. I'm just saying definitely.
I think he's nice for now. He's
yeah, but
he's harmless enough to pass the time with. I didn't the Pisces
yeah.
guy. I just was not good.
Listen. There's no such thing as a safe Sagittarian. So wrap it in plastic and no unprotected sex. Got it?
Okay. I'm writing it down so I can review this after and get it in my head.
You don't need to write this down. You just know it. You know? So anyway, that's enough of a mind spanking for my little friend Vanessa. Okay. I gotta let you go for right now, my friend. So but
Thank
I will
you.
Call you in the future. We'll get together. Okay? God bless, my friend.
Okay.
Take
Thanks.
Care. Bye.
Bye.
So Vanessa knows, so she's been there before. So I'm glad I was able to read a few poems for you guys out there regarding Ted Hughes. I'm going to say goodnight to my friend Larry, and I'll talk to you after. And for those of us out there that want a reading, don't call tonight, but call tomorrow with business hours, 323-782-0222, to schedule a reading with either Vox the Psychic or Larry Pines to do astrology. And until then, I'm so pleased and happy that you all tuned in tonight for our special on the great poet Ted Hughes. I thank you all immensely. And tune in later this week, I'll be having another show about something really, really cool as well. All right, my friends, have a great night, and tomorrow, have a mystical, magical day. Still there? Hey there, how's it going there? That was a good show.
Well,
it was a very good show.
Yeah, I think you said the right things. By the way, you said that the end of the show was Zero Gemini, which is the moon of Jeff Hughes.
Hold on 1 second. I'm just writing a little something over here. Let's see. Hold on. And I guarantee nobody in the world is doing a show like this. Nobody. I mean,
they're doing shows like it, but they're not up to your quality.
No, they're not doing shows about dead poets.
Yeah, I mean, it's widely, but not.
No, nobody's doing shows like this. Trust me, they're just not doing it. Seriously, it's crazy. But yeah, his poor son, oh my God. Terrible. And you know, I had a crush on him and I wanted to meet him. No, it would have been a disaster, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, he's not going to go up to Alaska to meet him.
I would have.
God, what a horrible trip.
Oh, I know. So what was the most shocking thing that you saw tonight?
You mean about the chart or the
show? No, like just the show.
Shocking?
Yeah.
I don't think it's shocking, but it's the purposefulness of the first caller. It was everything you described.
I mean, that's just crazy.
Exactly what we described. We're talking about death, suicide, this whole thing. Self, what Pisces do is to sabotage themselves, and came up like this. The purpose shows up immediately.
Yeah.
So we're getting the fuller purpose of the show. The poetry was there, the personality was there. And how it affected at least one person and her understanding and her life.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good show, though.
I know, it was an excellent show.
And I wasn't sure.
I'd say the